The Western Standard 6 Reloaded. If I had to give a stack ranking of these off-season free agent frenzy moves, mm-hmm. I would go Chargers.
Okay.
2A would be Cards. 2B would be Niners.
All right.
And I would go from there. It's a steep drop-off, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I would probably go Rams just because of the move with Stafford. I like. And then I would go Raiders.
Raiders in front of the Hawks?
Just because they got, I mean, at least they got Drake as like a supplement, you know, that's somewhat. And then Smokey Brown, I just like the name Smokey Brown.
All right, let's get into some free agent frenzy.
WST Podcast, free agent frenzy. It is NFL season. Oh, it's always around the corner, it seems like, because that's all they talk about up here in Seattle is what's Russ going to do? What's wrong with our defense? What's wrong with our offense? Blah, blah, blah. But we thought we'd come back to the Western Standard 6, look into each of the six teams, how they do in free agency, what we like, what we didn't like, what we could do without, direction of the team, do they fill all the holes they need, and what's left to be done. Okay, when were we starting?
And if you're new to WSD Podcast, we only cover six teams in the NFL. That's the Niners, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Rams, the Cardinals, and Big Ben Seahawks, a.k.a. the Western Standard 6.
After this free agent frenzy that the Seahawks haven't had, I don't know if you can call them my Hawks.
True. Ooh. And after the lack of move by some teams, we might be downsizing to the Western Standard 4.
So where do you want to start? I want to start here. I might have a new team. You got me this hat some time ago. And it doesn't fit very well, but I will wear it. You know why? Okay, Wynn, what is the number 946? Does that have any significance to you?
Is that how many touchdowns Herbert's going to throw in the next 2 years?
Slightly less than that. What about the old Wendy's line? Where's the beef?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, well, the beef is now on the Chargers roster in the form of three new offensive linemen. Great offseason pickups by the Chargers to protect Mr. A-Bear, Herbert, former Duck, former Rose Bowl winner, Corey Linsley. Formerly from the Green Bay Packers, number one ranked center, according to PFF last year. Herbert is going to have a nice comfy butt to take snaps from for the next 5 years. I'm sure Mr. Rogers' discount double check is a little envious because Lindsley's a solid foundation. This takes me back to when the Seahawks had a great line, and it all started with Max Unger. The line starts with the center, and Lindsley's no one better than Lindsley. Then you go to Matt Feeler, former Steelers offensive lineman, my size, 6'6", if I added 100 pounds, but a big dude. He can play guard or tackle, protect the left side for Ben Roethlisberger last year. And then you have the third addition, Ode Abushi, former Lions guard who, like ESPN has said, is getting better with age, like a nice Willamette Valley Pinot. Here you win. Interesting note. All three, if you look into it, said they can't wait to block for A-Bear, Herbert. Another signing they had was Jared Cook, who's shown flashes of being a top-tier tight end. He's going to replace and fill the gap of Hunter Henry. And then if I am, so this free agency so far is phenomenal. This is why I'm wearing the hat. But if I'm Mr. Herbert, I am sleeping better at night, yes. My sleep number bed, knowing that I have three new good offensive linemen. But also the trio of Eckler, Jackson, and Kelly. The backfield, I'm going to want the rock in my hands more because there's going to be bigger holes for me. And honestly, if you have the likes of Keenan Allen, or hate to say it, maybe Mike Williams shows up, I think the offense from a pure fantasy standpoint is going to be huge. Great, great free agency frenzy pickups by the Los Angeles Chargers.
Great pickups. I know the draft is a little over a month away. They've got a first-round pick. They might stock them with another offensive weapon. But here's a stat from our intern. Actually, not a stat, just a comment. The quarterback pressured the most last year was Russ Wilson. And he complained on national TV and to every media outlet about getting some help on the offensive line. The second most pressured quarterback was Herbert. He didn't do anything. But his GM went out and got some beef and got those three offensive line. I love the pickup. I can't wait for the Chargers. J-Mo's excited. Let's go, Chargers.
We're going to call them the Wendy's triple stack.
I like it.
The trio of offensive linemen. All right, where are we going with the other next five?
We're going to San Francisco, the 49ers. Top offseason priority was Trent Williams, offensive line. Free agent window hit. The Chiefs came calling. The Bears came calling. Is he going to go play for Mahomes? Well, John Lynch secured him, and he got the highest paid contract for an offensive line, 6 years, $138 million. But not only that, they also added Alex Mack, a former Cal Bear. And he played under Shanahan in Atlanta. And the offseason priority is to get back to running the ball downhill. Run the ball downhill, control the clock, have a great defense. That's the recipe of success. I don't know who will be a quarterback, if it will be Jimmy G or if they'll be drafting someone in the first round, but I love that pickup. As far as what else can they do, they lost Sherman, or they will lose Sherman because they can't afford to sign him. Their secondary wasn't as strong as it has been in the past. I'd love to see if they could go out and sign another cornerback, or maybe in the late rounds in the draft, second or third, to get a cornerback to shore up that secondary. Because everyone else is on Jimmy Ward Island.
I think Trent Williams is so maniacal about being the top paid lineman that they paid him, what was the number? Whatever the number plus $1, because he is now the top paid offensive tackle in the NFL. Great to keep him around. I think he was the top or the third rated tackle according to PFF. And if you look at the exodus, or I guess what Bill Belichick did in overpaying, in my opinion, for Kendrick Bourne, makes way for hopefully a healthy Deebo Samuel. And then Ayuk, kidding me, to open up two young guns on the outside. And ultimately, I think both you and I would agree, if Jimmy G does have some time, he can be a very credible quarterback in the NFL. But in previous years, he's been running, gunning, and honestly getting hurt.
Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to the Raiders. Yes. The Las Vegas Raiders. So here's what I saw from the Raiders. You go make a splash and get Yannick Ngakoue. Am I Ngakoue? Is that correct?
I'm the worst at pronouncing names, so that sounds about right.
Yannick Ngakoue. Yeah, formerly of the Jags, so that's where he kind of came up through the ranks. I think he had 55 sacks in, I want to say, 5 years, went to the Ravens for a spell last season. He had 8 sacks. Listen, he's not going to be Khalil Mack, but I think he will make the Raiders forget Khalil for at least 1 year in that horrendous trade that they made. And then you see what they did. Everything else in and around that is kind of this head scratcher. I mean, the Raiders aren't the, even if you looked at their drafts, people tend to scratch their heads in terms of what Gruden is doing. But you bring in Smokey Brown. Now, given that they had Diggs and Beasley taking all the targets from Allen and he was a little banged up, maybe it's a net positive over what you got over Nelson Aguilar. Probably not, though. And then you lost Gabe Jackson on the offensive line. The other one of note that people will call out is Drizzy Drake, clearing the way for Chase Edmonds in the backfield in Arizona. But Drizzy Drake comes over. Listen, I think this is a good pickup because if you saw the start of the season, Josh Jacobs was putting in work.
Yeah.
And then if you add him on your fantasy team, the second half of the season, he wasn't, just because they had no one else. They didn't have as much confidence in Booker, and Richard's more of an out of the backfield guy. So I think if you can give the ball to Drake 10 times, he got in the end zone 8 times last season. He had a 950 yards. If he replicates that in Las Vegas, I think that's a win for them. He had 25 catches out of the backfield last year, too, so it's another wrinkle Gruden can play with. In all, I don't know if the Raiders – I could see them making a splash in the draft. There's still this question mark of, like, you were paying Mariota $10 million last year. What do you do with him? Is he a trade chip? Yeah. Is Carr your guy long term? Knowing Gruden, I think they re-signed Nathan Peterman for a reason unknown to anyone. But, I mean, knowing Gruden, he'll probably bring in, like, 4 quarterbacks – He'll draft five offensive linemen.
And he'll bring back Jason Witten.
Yeah, he'll do something, right? I don't know. But so far it's been a ho-hum for the Raiders, but I like Ngakoue for him to put some pressure, make him forget Mac. And I think Drizzy Drake will be a good change of pace back for them.
I'm wearing silver and black, but in no means am I representing the silver and black Las Vegas Raiders on this pod. We go back and forth about winners and losers. We don't like to say that. But the Raiders, I want to take it back to some stats here. John Gruden is 64-80 since he won the Super Bowl. And the last 2 years, the Raiders haven't made the playoffs. In this offseason, I don't think that they did enough to be in the hunt to get to the playoffs next year. I think the time is ticking on Gruden and Carr. They got to get to the playoffs next year. They got to do something in the draft. They got to trade, make an acquisition, because right now the pieces on the paper, I don't think it's enough. I'm not happy or satisfied with this pick. So I'm going to take my tall, big margarita from the stratosphere where I'm walking the strip, and I'm going to walk right by Allegiant Field into the casino.
Wow. I don't know if I'd do that. I think there's a casino in the field, so you can two birds with one stone there. But I agree with you. If you look at the trajectory of the teams around him now, Broncos, ho-hum, Drew Lock, maybe. But you're not catching the Chiefs. Yeah, Drew Lock. You're not catching the Chiefs anytime soon, let's be honest. And then with the aforementioned Chargers playing in that same division, you had a window of opportunity last year when you were playing pretty well, surprisingly pretty well. But they went as far as I think Josh Jacobs could take them, to be honest. And they lost some close games, Hail Marys. So I agree with you. I am not passing up a trip to Allegiant Stadium, let that be known. So if there's a media pass out there where I can sit in one of those boxes over the stadium and play craps while watching the game, count me in.
What about Cabana bottle service and you're playing blackjack in the pool?
I probably won't get Allegiant Stadium.
Is it like Jacksonville where they have the cabanas?
I don't know, but I would call my financial advisor and be like, hey, I'm just put me on retirement and then put money until I don't have any more, and then they excavate me from this pool. That would be too good to be true.
Well, as your financial advisor, I would approve that move and wire you some money to make that happen.
I just need to get on a heater, right?
That's right.
Okay. Who we got next? Cards?
Yes, let's go off to the desert. Arizona Cardinals. So the Cardinals are looking to get back to the playoffs they haven't been since 2015. So what did they do? J.J. Watt. Wow, what a signing. Can you imagine Watt and Chandler Jones on the other side of the field rushing? And then they have Isaiah Simmons. And they also signed Robert Alford and Marcus Golden. Their defense stepped up, and I love that signing. On the offensive side, they signed A.J. Green, former Cincinnati Bengal. He's going to play flanker. They're going to line him up on the opposite side of Hopkins and make the defense decide where they're going to stack the field and where they're going to put extra defenders. I love AJ, but I've got way too many questions and answers on this. He didn't get very much separation last year. Is Fitz coming back? If Fitz isn't coming back, AJ doesn't really block. So to be determined, we'll kind of wait and see. But I think the Cardinals still have to go out. They have to get more offensive line help, and they have to do something in their secondary. They do have Buda Baker, but they lost Patrick Peterson, so they got to replace him.
Yeah, in the way of age, you kind of replace Patrick Peterson and A.J. Green about the same age on different sides of the ball. But Jalen Thompson, Buda Baker, and then, like you said, you add a pass rush where they're going after Russ 2 games a year. They're going to be going after Stafford 2 games a year. And then going after Garoppolo or whoever the Niners may draft at the top of the draft. But in regards to A.J. Green, I think what you saw out of that offense is Fitz couldn't get the separation that they expected last year in terms of a possession receiver. Christian Kirk's a deep ball threat. That's about it. Andy Isabel doesn't get many looks either. So some sort of combination where – you know, you can get AJ in a hint of what he was, 90% of what he was 2 years, 3 years back, because I don't think he got many targets with Taj Boyd and T. Higgins with the Bengals, and then even after Burrow was hurt. So maybe there's a sprinkle of magic with AJ Green left, but I love the Watt sighting. I think he's going to come back revitalized, similar to what we saw with Hopkins last year a bit, where he felt like there was a team atmosphere. I like what the Cardinals are doing.
All right.
Make sure you get Ubers too. Don't fall into the trap of, like, you know, all these players going to Arizona and thinking they should drive after drinking from Whiskey Row. Don't do that. Get Ubers.
Definitely, like, Uber. I think the blood alcohol rate is, I think it's like 1.5 drinks in Arizona. It's very strict. So just Uber. Or go in those little pedicabs.
No, they'll take you somewhere where you don't want to be.
Well, at the time you'll want to go, the next day later that night, you'll be like, oh, what did I get myself
into? Not in the day of Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. You don't want to end up there. But your pedicab might be a decent way. Maybe it's a bird, but you risk injury there too. So just Uber. All right, let's finish up with my proverbial Hawks.
Yes.
You know what, Kaywin? I fail to kind of sit here and go, like, this is, we had a great offseason. And the reason I'm not more enthusiastic around this is because it's been belabored. As you know, we don't have a basketball team here, so there's nothing to talk about during the NBL season other than complain about the Seahawks, and then complain about the Seahawks. So what did we do? Our big splash in free agency thus far has been Gerald Everett. Now, we had more tight ends than we needed in the room with Greg Olsen retiring. Sure, we might need an upgrade there, but it's been a long time since the Hawks have had a tight end where we've really used him to the effect that we could. And the reason for that is Russ isn't a big quarterback. I mean, we had Jimmy Graham, and he showed spots of you know, being the old Jimmy Graham, but he can't see over the line to throw something down the seam. That's apparent. So we'll see what Gerald Everett can do. We brought back Ethan Posick as a center. I think it's just because we couldn't pay a guy like Corey Linsley. And then Chris Carson. If the Hawks had a first-round pick, I think you would look at a running back potentially. With all the quarterbacks we picked up front, I think it's a deep running back, Najee Harris, others that are really good in this draft. But the Hawks just don't have any draft equity to play with. So you have to go back and re-sign Carson and hope that he plays. Rashawn Penny is still around. You know, pick up Gabe Jackson from the Raiders. Okay. Picked up a cornerback from your Niners, but it wasn't Richard Sherman, so who cares? Puna Ford's a good piece, but the Hawks are kind of, I think people are passing them in the division. We just mentioned the Cards. The Rams went up and picked up, which you'll probably talk about, Stafford. And the Niners are only getting better. I think we're in a kind of rebuilding, cost-cutting mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when you're going out and trying to make a big splash, you overpay in free agency, and they didn't want to do that with anyone. It's apparent. So we're going to be looking at that same team that lost to the Rams in the playoffs, and I think we're going to regress, whereas everyone is going to progress. So that's the reason I'm part of the Bolt gang this year. Okay, it's official. I'm signing up. Where's my contract? I want a 3-year contract. I want a 5 cheeseburger signing bonus and maybe some tickets to SoFi.
Perfect. Get you in and out. When all you do is burgers, burgers, and burgers, Postmates. This podcast is brought to you by Postmates. No, but you're right, because the Seahawks, I believe they have the least amount of draft picks in the upcoming draft. I think they only have 3. So everyone thought that they were going to be very active in signing players. And then there was always that rumor of, are they going to move Russ to Chicago or Las Vegas to acquire players or acquire more assets? And that didn't happen as well. So their offseason has been very underwhelming. And the Chris Carson signing, he's been hurt. I really feel like the Seahawks are trying to find someone who is like beast mode, right? Like Marshawn Lynch was the guy. And Chris Carson was a signing. They hoped he could be the guy, but I agree with you. I would love to see him get Najee Harris, a Bay Area guy who went to Alabama, come back. The book is still out on Pete Carroll and what he's going to do in the draft and with Russ.
I mean, if you saw what the rookie running backs did last year, I mean, Cam Akers showed well. Like, promise, if you want to lock up a running back for a friendly contract, that's what you got to do. You got to develop one through the draft. And to re-sign Chris Carson, that's okay. But again, to your point, he's an injury waiting to happen in most respects. A little, nothing left to be said about the Hawks. It's been a snoozer of an offseason.
Well, we'll finish up with the Los Angeles Rams. They haven't done much either, so this might be a short recap. They're basically going to build around Cam Akers. It was Run DMC last year. Cam Akers stepped up towards the end of the year in the playoffs. They're going to build around him, and they made that big move where they traded Jared Goff and they got Stafford. So now that they have that number one game-changing running back, that dominant defense, they're going to now look to throw the ball and move the ball. And they did sign DeSean Jackson. So you got Cooper Kupp, you got DeSean Jackson, you got Robert Woods. But at 35, I don't know how effective DeSean will be. And so I am also a little leery about what they did this offseason and what it means moving forward. They did sign linebacker, who was it? Leonard Floyd. I think they may have overpaid for him a little bit.
Whoa, overpaid is an understatement. That guy, whoever is playing left or right tackle for the Hawks.
I'm the nice guy.
I am the realist here. Go back and watch the two Seahawks games, and I'm sure those are the highlights that he brought into Rams management and said, pay me, because it was him just trouncing Russ. I think he had collective six sacks in those two games, maybe six over the course of the three games, including the playoffs. Leonard Floyd got paid because of the Seahawks. Good on him. $64 million over 5 years, but they did overpay. And the one thing – are you done?
I'm done.
The one thing we did miss, or you might have missed, is the two people that left that secondary, Troy Hill being one of them, and Johnson, both fleeced, in my opinion, went to the Browns. Contract some value was less than that of Leonard Floyd. So you basically kept Leonard Floyd around to sacrifice probably two of your pretty, I would say, top 20 at their position, Rams players or secondary players. Troy Hill was, I thought, a decent cornerback for you guys, if not a top-tier cornerback later in the season. So
let's not,
if I'm a Chargers fan, down with the Rams.
Don't forget about Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator. He left as well. That's going to be a big blow. He's now the head coach of your Chargers.
Yeah, so you have Ramsey, Floyd, Stafford, Cam Akers, Donald. I forgot about, I can't forget about Donald. But we got Bosa.
That's true.
All right, Big Ben and Kay win. That's your free agent frenzy. The Western Standard Six reloaded. If I had to give a stack ranking of these off-season free agent frenzy moves, I would go Chargers.
Okay.
2A would be Cards. 2B would be Niners.
All right.
And I would go from there. It's a steep drop off, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I would probably go Rams just because of the move with Stafford. I like. And then I would go Raiders.
Raiders in front of the Hawks?
Just because they got, I mean, at least they got Drake as like a supplement, you know, that's somewhat. And then Smokey Brown, I just like the name Smokey Brown. And then the last would be the Seahawks.
Big Ben K win, Western Standard Six at WST_podcast on Instagram and Twitter, iTunes, Pandora, iHeart, Spotify. We're everywhere. WST Podcast, Big Ben and K win.
I apologize for yawning. I was just thinking about this Seahawks offseason. Big Ben and K win, WST Podcast. Boom. Oh.